Okay, Gina, have you had a chance to look at your report?
Yes, I have. I've been looking at it. I
So
have.
here's the thing. I want to just be clear for you guys that when you look at these things, you might get like, oh, but the other thing is like you're getting information that you didn't have before. And now you can take action based on that information, right? So I think much as, you know, it's not like it's new, it's been there. It's just kind of being brought to your attention. So it gives you some good action plans. So I don't want you to get discouraged, is what I'm saying. Okay, so ooh, what's this? Histamine. Oh, this they put some other stuff in here. Histamine, immunoglobulin E is high, and okay, so you have some immunoglobulin issues, elevations. Is that something that's new, or is that something you've had tested before?
I don't know. I don't have a history. I've never had that tested before.
Was that something that Lisa recommended, or was that something? Yeah.
Yeah, she did. She recommended me get those tests.
Okay. So adrenal, immune, and gallbladder are the main things showing up. Inflammation, toxicity, oxidative stress, vitamins and fats. Let's see. D is another common one today, right? D, B12, thiamine, and magnesium. So let's look to see what some of those things are. Do you take D right now?
Yes, but she recommended me get the liposomal or the other one. What
No,
the D3 K2.
B3K2. Yeah.
That one, sorry. I'm getting all my supplements mixed up.
It's easy enough to do. You know, you guys are trained in other things besides nutrition. And so I think you do a great job of learning this stuff and being able to take control. So your glucoses look good. This is where I like to see it. Those of you who had out of range insulins, this is what I want to see. It's like 2.9, really nice.
So I have a question on that C-peptide, and it's low, and that's something to do with my pancreas. I was
Yes,
listening
so
today.
the C-peptide in this particular case, it's probably fine, right? If I saw that you had low insulin like this, low C-peptide, and high glucose or high hemoglobin A1C, I'd be concerned that your pancreas is wearing out. But your numbers here are in balance. Your insulin is in balance. It's just that C-peptide is like when you make insulin, it cleaves C-peptide as part of that molecule that gets thrown away. And so it can give us an idea if the pancreas is wearing out. I don't think that that's what it means here. A little low on the EGFR. A little low on the renal function. So it's something we want to watch for. Sodium, your electrolytes are all really good. Oh, wait, no, I was on the previous page. Sodium, potassium's a little low. So potassium's another one that a lot of folks have had that. So looking at the higher potassium foods and potentially supplementing if you can't get it through food. And you had amylase and lipase, those are good. Yeah, so your protein is above the standard, which, believe it or not, could mean that you don't have enough protein, or it could mean that you have hypochlorhydria. So just keep that in mind. Your globulins are high, similar. So I would look at absorption. I would look at your stomach acid. Do you do any bitters with your meals?
I just started one. Yeah, I
Started.
just started one.
Good. Okay, so you did a whole series of immunoglobulins here. Okay, so E is above average. The rest of them. So you have specific allergies that are inhalant type or immediate allergens, like that you break out, you get hives, you get snuffy.
See, I haven't experienced any of that. The only thing is eating crab. That was the only thing I've had a number of years ago, but nothing other than that. And so I'm still, that's still a question mark on where the allergy is coming from.
Where's that coming from?
Yeah.
The A is a little bit on the borderline of above average, you know, above optimal. The G's are in the range. The M's are in the range. But the E is higher. E is up, immediate hypersensitivity immunoglobulin.
That's what that is? Is it sensitive to some kind of food or environment?
It could be grass. It could be an environmental thing. Usually it's something that usually people know when they have an IgG type, IgE type allergy, because it shows up. You know, you do a certain thing, like you said, with crab, and you get a reaction. You eat a certain food, or you mow the lawn and you get a reaction. In Texas here at this time of year, we have the crazy cedar fever that people are experiencing. And it's this time of year and everybody's sneezing and sniffling and all that. And that's where the IgEs come from. So we'll keep an eye on that one. See if there's anything else in here that bears up. Magnesium looks like it's a little on the low side. Do you take any magnesium?
Yes, and she recommended a supplement for magnesium now. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been taking one, but it hasn't been, I guess, doing me a lot of good because it was just...
Yeah, so it could be, like I said before to someone, is that when you're taking something but the levels don't look so good, it's either you're not taking enough, it's the wrong form, or you're not just not absorbing it.
So Lisa recommended magnesium glycinate. So okay. I just ordered that.
Good, good. Yeah, ceruloplasmin is a marker for copper, and yours is high. I'm always concerned if copper is high and zinc is low, and your selenium is serum. I'm not 100% sure I trust selenium in the serum. It's just an indicator, but it's not necessarily the best way to tell. Let's see what, if you have any other markers. Alk-Fos looks good. AST is a little on the high side.
That's the one I'm concerned about because it talks about the heart.
Yeah, it could be liver, it could be heart. So, you know, let's look at your lipids, but there's a test called CK or CPK, creatine phosphokinase, and it has to do, you can do that with what's called isoenzymes and look at that to see if there's any indication of heart.
CPK.
The other one is alkaline phosphatase, but that's not, yours isn't high, so never mind. So CPK or CK. Some labs call it CK, some CPK.
CPK or CK.
Okay. Yeah, and then what you want to do is that test with isoenzymes. So it's basically, there's this one enzyme compilation and then there's sub enzymes within it. And one might be elevated if you have a heart, if it's your muscles, one might be if it's, you know, something else.
So CPK is the abbreviation?
CPK with isoenzymes.
Okay. Is that a blood or a urine?
The blood.
Blood, okay.
Only a blood. Cholesterol total is... good. Triglycerides good. LDL's good. HDL's good. Your lipid panel looks good.
Okay. I was going to ask you about those. Were they in?
No, they look good.
They look good. Okay.
The ratios are all good. HDL cholesterol ratio is good. Yeah. So the lipid panel actually looks really good. Your thyroid. Wow. One of the better thyroid panels I've seen in a long time. You're not on any medications?
No, I'm not.
You do? Oh my God, given, holy cow.
But my antibody though.
Look at that's your antibodies. Those... How the heck did you, like, this is why I like to do antibodies even when everything, I have never seen anybody with such a perfect thyroid test with elevated antibodies like that.
I know. I'm like, what's going on?
Okay, so you need to address the antibodies before the thyroid starts to malfunction, which means healing leaky gut, determine if there's any heavy metal toxicity, keeping your blood sugar, which you seem to be doing, in balance, and then looking at if there's any, I mentioned heavy metals, but stress, you know, environmental stressors, molds, things like that, or physiologic, psychologic type stresses. So did you do any parts of the, did you come to the SHINE conference we did?
I did.
So that whole framework, right, of looking at each of those pieces, doing the, we're going to be doing a, as a group, we'll be doing it in, you know, I'll start it a little bit in a couple of weeks, but then we'll really dive into it in January with the elimination diet, right? And determining, are there any foods that you didn't even know you had sensitivities to, but when you pull them out and then you put them back in, you have a sensitivity. That's critical with this, right?
Okay.
Oh my gosh. I'm just shocked. Because first of all, it was like, wow, what a perfect thyroid panel. And a perfect thyroid panel with antibodies in the 900s. This just reinforces for me how important it is for everybody to do their antibodies, whether your numbers look good or not. Look at
Yes, I agree. Because I've those numbers have always been high for the past 6 years or 5 years that I've been seeing, you know, a regular doctor.
Wow. Wow. And they haven't come down at all.
They've come down maybe, it used to be 1200, 1100, that peroxidase, now it's 900, right?
You've been gluten-free for quite a while?
No, I just started this year. I mean, at least that's why.
That's going to bring that down. They did some studies with people who had elevated thyroid antibodies, elevated gluten antibodies, elevated thyroid antibodies, and took them off the gluten and then plummeted on the thyroid antibodies because there's a cross-reactivity there. You're just really fortunate that it's not actually showing in these numbers. Like, yeah.
Does rice contribute to that? Eating rice?
It might. You know, cross-contamination is common with gluten and rice, right? And so when you're doing an elimination diet, you would eliminate the rice,
okay,
right? The grains. The other thing is, like, Tom O'Brien posted a study. I can't remember which journal it was in, but they basically took foods that are normally not, they don't have gluten, right? They don't have to label them gluten-free because they just are gluten-free, like rice or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they actually tested a bunch of these foods and only like 95% of them were actually gluten-free. The rest of them had contamination. So you don't know like which brand and which restaurant and whatever you're going to get contaminated with.
Right.
Yeah. And also if you eat in a restaurant, he asked somebody in a restaurant and his sister actually was the one that really pushed it and said, is that gluten-free? It's rice, you know, it's rice, you know, it's rice. It's gluten-free. Of course it's gluten-free. Well, it turned out that they were like putting gluten flour on the rice so it wouldn't stick together. Mm-hmm. So you never know with that sort of stuff. Right now, you're probably not eating out a lot because it's, you know, all these lockdowns and all this other stuff. But I would say, yeah, the rice might be one of the things to put on that. What we're going to do when we do the elimination diet is we're going to have everybody make fill out a form that gives you like, what are all the foods that you tend to eat a lot on a regular basis? And then we're going to design the elimination diet so it's a rare foods diet. So the foods that you eat not frequently. So the ones that you eat frequently. So if you eat rice a couple of times a week, you're going to eliminate that for a couple of weeks. And then you're going to add them back a little at a time. Okay. Yeah. So now, you know, I've seen it all. Your ESR is high. And this is an autoimmune. These are autoimmune. Your B12 is a possibility there. And your D needs to come up. So you said that Lisa told you to up the D. Yeah.
Yeah, the D.
And the B12. So
I'm taking the liposome on the B12. Liposome on.
Yeah.
The folate is high too. She said, what are you being? I haven't been taking anything that I know of.
No. But if you're eating a lot of high folate foods, I don't know, you know. Do you eat like a lot of, do you eat a lot of raw greens?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that could be why the folate, I mean, some of these numbers are based on normal populations that don't really eat a lot of greens, right? I don't think it's dangerous. The only danger to having high folate is that it will mask the deficiency of B12.
Okay.
That's a big thing. Whenever somebody's going to, we don't know what their status is. And, you know, like you say, oh, it might be a folate deficiency. Always, always, always supplement B12 with it, because you don't want to mask that deficiency.
Okay. So before we end, am I anemic? That was one of my questions about anemia. Do I have anemia?
You have what's called, I mean, I can't say that as a diagnosis, but you have indications of something called macrocytic anemia. I'm not seeing iron in here. Okay. And then, so we don't know about that, but here I'll show you. There's different kinds of anemia based on the size of your red blood cells.
Uh-huh.
Here you go, CBC. This MCV.
Uh-huh.
If it's very slow, an iron deficiency anemia, microcytic anemia, this would be low. In macrocytic anemia, meaning they're bigger than they should be, then it's either B12 or folate anemia. I mean, vitamin C deficiencies can play in there, but the main cause of that being high is B12 or folate. Best guessing from your folate numbers, it's probably B12, even though your vitamin B12 serum is high. Unless we look at your genes, which will play out, and you have plenty of calls with me that will go through all of that and like peel away the onion and figure it out. But when you have methylation issues, sometimes that B12 is high in the serum because it's not getting into the cells and being utilized because it's not the right form and your body doesn't have the ability to convert it. Okay.
Right.
So yeah, you do have some indications of anemia, but it's not an iron. I don't see iron in here. And if it was an iron deficiency anemia, we'd probably see a variation. We wouldn't see this high MCV. Okay.
Okay.
We could spend hours on this. And don't worry, you have calls that will go through all of this. You have a call for all the labs, you have a call for the genetics, and we'll get all this managed. Okay.
Okay. Sounds good.
Thank you.